Well, welcome to the podcast, everyone. This is Dr. Hedberg, and in this episode of the Dr. Hedberg Show, I'll be talking about adrenal fatigue and everything you need to know about that. This is something that you may have heard of or suspect you have, and I'm just going to lay all the groundwork for this particular health concern, talk about what it is, what causes it, and some of the best treatment options. So adrenal fatigue is not, that's not really the correct term to describe it as it's been described for a while now in the functional medicine world. It's more, I would say, a dysfunctional connection between the brain and the adrenal glands. That's really more of the issue. It's not a condition where the adrenal glands can just no longer produce hormone. The issue is more related to the nervous system and the brain and how your brain communicates with your adrenal glands. That's really what gets disrupted and causes adrenal dysfunction. But adrenal fatigue, I mean, it is a, it's kind of a well-known term now, so I still use it, but I just wanted to explain a little bit more of about what's really going on, because it's not that simple as just the adrenals are shot and they're just not making hormone. So, you know, in this particular case, yes, the adrenal glands usually are not producing as much hormone as they should. Just to go over a few basics, the adrenal glands, they're tiny organs that sit on top of the kidneys, pretty small, about 5 grams each. And they do have an extremely high rate of blood flow, one of the highest in the body. And they also have the highest concentration of vitamin C in the body. So stress really depletes vitamin C from the body and creates a whole host of other problems. So they sit there on top of the kidneys and they produce mainly cortisol, which is an interesting hormone because it's very important for a lot of things. Like it's a good anti-inflammatory. It's very important for the immune system. But too much of it, just like any hormone, is not going to be good. So too much cortisol breaks you down. It strips your muscles and your bones and your gut lining. It breaks down your immune system, damages the brain, kind of ages the skin, and things like that. And so that's why, you know, you see someone who's been under a tremendous amount of stress over a period of time, and they look like they've aged quite a bit, and that's because cortisol is just tearing them down. Now, the adrenals also make DHEA, which is what we call an anabolic hormone, meaning it builds you up, builds muscle, good for the immune system, the liver, the brain. And then aldosterone is another hormone, which we won't talk too much about, because that's mainly that mainly regulates hydration and blood volume. And then there's another part of the adrenal gland that produces adrenaline. So you have norepinephrine and epinephrine, and those are the two forms of adrenaline made by the body. So one particular part of the adrenal gland just makes adrenaline, and then the other part makes all those other hormones, the cortisol, the DHEA, and aldosterone. And one of those parts can be out of balance, and the other one may not be, or both of them are out of balance, and this causes a lot of problems. So basically, when you're under stress, your adrenals will pump out high levels of cortisol and adrenaline, and then this will suppress DHEA. And remember, DHEA is a really good anabolic hormone, you know, building you up. And the other thing is that the excess adrenaline, it inhibits thyroid function, and the excess cortisol also inhibits thyroid function. So your thyroid is getting hit twice by the adrenals when you're under stress. So let's talk about what causes this adrenal dysfunction. It's kind of obvious, but let's just talk a little bit about it. Pretty much anything that is going to stress you out. So that can be physical or psychological stress. So this could be stress in a relationship, job stress. Your diet can stress the body. So too much sugar, too many processed foods, caffeine, alcohol. And then going back to the relationships, if there's lack of physical affection in a relationship, this is very stressful. Any kind of ongoing conflict. If you're harboring anger towards the person that you're with, if you're suppressing those emotions, if you're worrying about it or worrying about the relationship, this is a major adrenal stressor. Single moms working two jobs, raising kids, financial stress is a big one. Going through a divorce, death of a loved one, any kind of ongoing infection in the body like herpes or Epstein-Barr, gut infections, allergies, the shock of being diagnosed with a serious condition like cancer, heart disease, food sensitivities, some of the big ones being gluten, dairy, and eggs, a leaky gut. There's just a lot there. And then I did write an article recently about social media, how that can create stress, like Facebook, Facebook debates. This is an election year. This creates stress. Thermal stress. So June 2016 was the hottest June in the history of the planet. So extreme temperature changes, extreme hot or cold temperatures, that's actually quite stressful to the body. So that's something to think about. Some people feel a lot worse in the heat of the summer or the cold of the winter. And so anything you can think of there that stresses the body, especially if it's ongoing, can stress the adrenals. And then the other thing is inconsistent sleep patterns. So if your sleep hygiene is bad, then this can stress the adrenals. So if you're going to bed at different times every night, if it's kind of all over the place, like 10 o'clock one night, midnight the next night, and things like that, that's going to be a big stress to the circadian rhythm and the adrenals as well. So the adrenals, they're at their highest level in the morning. That's part of what wakes you up in the morning. And then they slowly decrease as the day goes on, and then they're at their lowest level in the evening and at night and while you're asleep. Now, one of the reasons why people have insomnia is because their adrenal glands and their blood sugar are out of balance. So too much cortisol will keep you up. And it also make you a light sleeper. So if you're shocked out of sleep very easily in the middle of the night and you can't go back to sleep, that could be an adrenal issue. And then sleep is a fast. So your body has to maintain healthy blood sugar levels while you're sleeping. And if your blood sugar levels drop, that's a stress. So that's an alarm response to the body. And so your adrenals will actually pump out adrenaline if your blood sugar drops too low. Because adrenaline helps to increase blood sugar. But this also wakes you up, and then it's very difficult to fall back asleep. So the symptoms of adrenal fatigue, there's a lot of overlap here with hypothyroidism. So the main ones are going to be fatigue and low stamina. If you're a slow starter in the morning, frequent urination, muscle and joint pain, blood sugar issues / insulin resistance, migraine headaches, osteoporosis, insomnia, poor memory. And that's because cortisol eats away at an area of the brain that is very important for memory. Low sex drive, low body temperature, a very weak immune system. So if you're just kind of catching everything that goes around, the colds and the flus, allergies, abnormal thyroid function, then you may crave sugar or salt, difficulty recovering from exercise, weight gain with difficulty losing weight, You might have a difficulty gaining muscle mass and maintaining muscle mass. And then low blood pressure. And then dizziness when standing up quickly from a seated or a lying position. Those are a lot of the signs of adrenal fatigue / abnormal adrenal function. So like I said, you can see there's a lot of overlap there with the thyroid. So sometimes those can get confused. And then blood sugar is also a big part of adrenal and thyroid function. So that's kind of a trio, the thyroid, the adrenals, and the pancreas, all involved in controlling blood sugar. And when one of them is affected, the other two are affected. So you have to look at all three every time you look at issues with any one of them. So what's the best test for the adrenals? So this may surprise you, but salivary hormone testing is not an accurate way to measure adrenal function. You're actually looking at a small percentage of cortisol production in saliva. You're only seeing the free cortisol that was in the blood that has then been transported into the salivary gland. And like I said, that's a very small percentage. So the best testing is actually what we call urine spot testing. And this is called Dutch testing through a lab called Precision Analytical that I use for adrenal testing and sex hormones. And it's great because you get the actual hormone levels. So you get the cortisol, the DHEA, the cortisone, but then you get all of the metabolites, which is just as important as the hormone levels themselves. So you get the metabolized cortisol, all the cortisol and cortisone metabolites, and then the DHEA and all the DHEA metabolites. And you get that over a you get a good look at the 24-hour output, but since it's spot testing, you also get to see the rhythm like you would on the saliva test, which gives you four readings throughout the day. So this is going to give you the full 100% picture of adrenal output, whereas saliva testing, very small amount of the actual hormone. And that's a very easy test to do, just four urine samples taken in a 24-hour period. So what are some of the best treatments? Well, we use adrenal adaptogens. My favorites are ashwagandha, also known as Indian ginseng, Eleuthero, which is formerly known as Siberian ginseng, Panax ginseng, and then Rhodiola rosea. Those are really my four top adrenal adaptogens. There is confusion about adrenal adaptogens. People think that they lower cortisol, and that's not how they work. If your cortisol level output is low, then they'll help to bring it back into a healthier range, but they won't make it too high. And then if your cortisol levels are too high, they help to bring it down into a healthy range, but they won't suppress it lower than normal. And so I just want to clear that confusion up. And so the adrenal adaptogens work on that connection between the brain and the adrenal glands, and they help to balance that and make it healthy. They also have some other benefits like more energy, more stamina. They do help with blood sugar metabolism. They do tend to help with mood as well. So if there's depression or anxiety or sluggish mental function, they're helpful that way. They're immune system builders over time. Some of them can help with sex drive, and ashwagandha specifically has been shown to help improve thyroid function. So a lot of benefits there, and then they can also really help with sleep because they help to balance the adrenals while you're sleeping. And then the second one that I like is phosphatidylserine. And this product basically repairs the area of the brain that is damaged by excess cortisol levels. And then it also helps to balance the connection between the brain and the adrenal glands. So it's very helpful in restoring memory that's been damaged by chronic stress. And then some additional support would be some of the B vitamins, especially pantothene or pantothenic acid, which is B5, but all the B vitamins will help. Zinc is very important, and zinc has also been shown to suppress too much cortisol production, so it'll suppress those surges pretty effectively. And then vitamin C is also very helpful. And then we also talk a lot about meditation being very, very helpful for chronic stress and adrenal dysfunction, journaling, nature walks, getting away from the tech that you're using, the computers, the cell phones, the tablets and things like that. Just getting out in nature and walking really helps to improve creativity and mood and reduce stress. Going to bed consistently at the same time every night is a big one. And then we also have to talk about exercise, because some people are over-exercising. And exercise is a stress if it's too much. And so we talk a lot about doing the right type of exercise for certain people, because you don't want to add additional stress to your body if you're already overstressed. And so basically what I'm saying is you don't want to overstimulate a gland that is already overstimulated. And so things like Tai Chi, gentle flow yoga, just walking. And then if you are going to be doing other types of exercise like swimming or weights and things like that, then you may need to cut back on your intensity and your frequency and make it a moderate to lower intensity, so you're not creating additional stress. So one good rule of thumb for exercise is that you should feel energized when you're done. You should feel energized for 24 hours after you exercise. So if you crash or it makes you more tired, then you're doing too much. And then when you're done with your exercise routine, whatever that is, you should feel like you could easily continue. If you don't feel like you could keep going, then you're doing too much. And then I mentioned earlier about the sugar and the processed carbohydrates, the caffeine, the alcohol, just a lot of the basics that everyone pretty much knows about, too much stimulation, too much junk food and things like that. Those are going to really stress out the adrenals as well. So if you're not really sure, you know, what's causing the adrenal dysfunction, or you want to get more information, then you want to work with a functional medicine practitioner. I do consult with people worldwide by Skype and over the phone. We do ship test kits all over the world, and we do that for hormone testing as well, the ones that I've mentioned. And so that can be helpful. And then if you go to my website, drhedberg.com, and go to this adrenal fatigue article where I post this podcast, I do have a link to a webinar that I made on YouTube where I talk a lot more about adrenal fatigue and some of the strategies we talked about today. So those are the basics of adrenal fatigue. Now you should have a good understanding of it. You know, what causes it, how to test for it, and some of the things you can do to help restore your adrenals and get your stress physiology back in balance. So this is Dr. Hedberg. Hope you enjoyed this particular episode of the Dr. Hedberg Show, and I will see you next time. Take care.